Welcome to Gold Soul, where empowered parenthood and conscious living meet. I'm Jessie, a licensed home birth midwife, here to explore birth, parenting, and personal growth. Through real stories, reflections, and chats with holistic experts, we'll uncover fresh insights, heartfelt support, and a bit of humor. Let's laugh, learn, and grow together through the beauty and challenges life brings.
Hello. I am so thrilled. Today we have my sweet friend, Mary, who's also a past client of mine. Mary is a huge inspiration as to why this podcast is even in existence, and we'll get into that a little bit as well. But Mary is a spiritual medium and mentor who shares her amazing gifts with so many different people in different walks of life. And I thought this would be such a wonderful conversation to have, because pregnancy and, you know, the journey into parenthood and birth itself, in my opinion, is one of the more spiritual experiences you could possibly have. And, you know, these little babies come into the world just with this really open energy. And so I thought it would be wonderful to have this conversation with Mary. So thank you for being here with me today, Mary. Because I think a lot of our listeners are probably not super familiar with the type of work you do, can you kind of tell us a little bit about your journey into what you do and what drew you to this work and how you got started?
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Jessie. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah. So like you said, I'm a spiritual medium. I'm a psychic. I'm a channeler. I'm a visual artist, a mom of two girls. You're my midwife. Super blessed to have you. Couldn't have done it, like literally couldn't have done it without you. So you mean as much, if not more, to me in my journey in my life. I started doing this work when I was 4 years old, but I really did. And I don't want to say work. I started becoming aware of the spirit world. As far as I can remember back to that age, when my grandmother passed away in our home, my childhood home. And I remember hearing her voice, after she had passed. And I remember strange things happening in the home, like lights would go on and off. No one would be doing that. And I would just have this knowing, oh, it's grandma. And her and I shared the same name. So, there was this really special, spiritual connection between her and I, where I didn't really like know her, when she was in a body. I mean, I was only four, so I've only really known her in a spiritual way. So she's kind of been my little portal to the spirit world, in that sense. And, I think this work, like a lot of mediums, like finds you, don't really choose it. And I was raised, Catholic. No knocking against the Catholic Church, but I did not relate to that religion, but I found a pathway, through it, in that being in the church, being in that atmosphere with the choir going, the incense, I could smell the incense, and just this like holy atmosphere. I would find moments throughout my life, coming back to, oh my God, I know I have this knowing of this deep connection with spirit, as if I knew, okay, like sitting in this church isn't particularly right for me, but I know that there's something here. So I think throughout in like linear time as I'm growing, I always found aha moments, like that, like turning on the TV and seeing that, I don't know if you know the psychic medium, Sylvia Brown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And her on Montel Williams, yep, in the 90s. And I was like, that's me. That's me. And I don't know how I'm going to do that, but that's me.
I love it.
And maybe not her style, but certainly connecting to spirit. Yeah. Although I love that voice. She had like this raspy, great voice. I went to art school. I have an MFA in art, and I'm making art about the metaphysical, my past lives, my spiritual experiences. And then people would just start asking me for like readings, for advice. I did have a deck of tarot cards, you know, around, but even out of, you know, nowhere, they'd be like, Mary, what do you think? And I'm like, there's something here. And I would always come up with something very psychically attuned. They're like, how do you know that? And I'm just, I don't know. But inside I'm like, yeah, I'm psychic. I know. I think at just one point I was in my 30s, I was 35. I went to this like Vipassana. It was a 10-day silent meditation, and I had a pretty severe reaction to the meditation event. I don't know, whatever it is, a gathering. And I had a bunch of panic attacks and shedding of the dark night of the soul. And I remember it was like that turning of that event was basically where I was like, I'm going to get serious like with what I'm doing. And then it was around that time when I started studying with really like renowned mediums and developing this gift into an actual like ability. I took it really like, you know, seriously, and like how can I actually hone this in? How can I get accurate evidence that I do have someone's, you know, loved one? Because I really do think that the stakes are high as a medium, and you're dealing with people that are deeply, deeply grieving. And it wasn't until I gave birth to my daughter, my mom passed, and we fell into a worldwide pandemic within 5 days of each other, of all of those things happening in 2020. My world was just like, it was like a portal just ripped open where I could be a medium, like based on my own grief experience. And do I believe in destiny and fate? I think loosely. I believe in obviously free will. But I really do think those events rattled my reality and was a gift in a way. So 4 years later, that brings us to today.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's quite the journey. And it is amazing because I can say firsthandedly what a gift you have. We've worked together and have plans to continue to work together. And I've personally have worked with a few other medium psychics in the past. And there was something so special with your approach and how you do it. And it was so unique compared to what I've experienced in the past. So for someone who is completely new to this work and to this field, how would you describe your unique approach as a psychic medium?
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. That's such a good question. I think I would answer that because my creative practice, my art practice, has been kind of the foundation for doing this work. And just the unique bird I am is that I will always do it my way that feels most exciting. And the moment that this work becomes dull or boring, like I'm just not going to do it. So I'm always finding ways for it to feel fresh and new and like a child, you know, looking at the world for the first time. And I don't think that mediumship could ever get dull, to be honest, because I'm a big believer in the more you find out about the mystery of the universe, like the less you know, you realize you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's, I think that approaching it from a creative, in a creative way, and also like, if I was the person receiving the reading, like, I want to go on a wild adventure. I want to speak to my loved one that I love so dearly on the other side. And I want them, it's almost as if I want them in the room, you know, with us, and that I get to hear their voice again through this, you know, through the medium. I get to see their mannerisms. I get to see them again, almost, you know. So I think that's at least where my mediumship is going, is to really anchor their presence, you know, in the room. I think that's where a lot of mediums should go.
Absolutely. So. I love that. And I can relate too in my own regard, because I tell everyone, like, being a midwife, being a birth keeper or birth worker, whichever phrase, you know, resonates with you, is so much about holding reverence for that journey, right? And the day that I feel like there is nothing left for me to learn from a birth, the day that I feel like my ego has superseded my role, then I need to retire. Then this is no longer the place for me. Because as you said, with pregnancy and with, you know, holding space in the regard that birth keepers do, it is so humbling, and there is more to learn the further down that hole you go, the more experience you get. Like, and I think in life, right? Like, the second we feel like we know everything, like, we need to be checked seriously. Because I think if you look at someone who is coming the, you know, to the end of their path of, you know, this body, this life, I don't think that they're going to say, oh yeah, I learned everything, right? Like, I know how everything works. There's always more to learn. I love that you take that approach as well. And as someone who has that shared mindset, that's what I seek, you know, for people around me, is do they view their role as a forever student in, you know, the journey of life? I think we all should. Mm-hmm. I'm super curious, Mary, is there any reading that you've done that has, like, really left a significant impact on you?
Oh my gosh. Pulling out the good questions. Yeah, it's really interesting you saying that, because I am a person of many. I like to do many things. I'm not a Gemini like you, but I feel very Gemini in spirit, in the sense that I like to do many things, which is, I also like to write. That's what I'm trying to say. And I don't know if it's like a metaphysical book, really, that like would relate to my field. I feel like the reading that I'm I devour it, is like where the author takes me somewhere, not to like escape my reality, kind of, because our reality is really rough right now. We're literally doing this recording on the U.S. election day,
right? arguably one of the biggest elections of U.S. history, but yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say books that are like I love like fantasy. I love you know, things like that really whisk me away to other worlds, mm-hmm. and I aspire to write something like that one day. Something where I can be part of this author's world that they've created, is really something inspiring to me. But if I had to give, you know, because I know, you know, the work I do, and people would be curious, like, what books have you read that are related to what you do? I'm a big fan of a few. So Joe Dispenza's Becoming Supernatural.
Oh yeah, that's one of John's favorite books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did I? I wonder if I.
I don't think so. I don't, because he, I think he had it before your guys' reading. So John's my husband, and John actually did a reading. Well, I think two readings with Mary before I even got to do a reading with Mary, and inspired her so much. But yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. Yeah, so that one, I really like, opening to channel. I know the one author, I can't remember the other one. It's by Sanaya Roman. And then there's a co-author, I just forget off the top of my head. And then the other one is just a classic, Many Lives, Many Masters by Dr. Brian Weiss. And that really, I am also a past life regression. I walk or there, I'm not a therapist, but guide, I guess. I love past life research. I love the idea of where we go when we die. I love the, just the concepts of what is consciousness and in the intersection with like psychology and science, super interested in that kind of thought process.
Awesome. So how does your gift affect your daily life? I think a lot of people are always curious, like when you have this type of gift, are you always on? Are you always tuned in? Or like, you know, are there times that you turn it off? Like, is it something that you consciously do? How does that all work?
Yeah. This is a very common question, but it's like really important to know that I am not always on. Sometimes people think like when they go to a psychic or a medium, all of a sudden, like I just know their life story when they walk in the room, and it's like with a snap of the fingers, I know how they were born. I know all their difficulties. I know what they ate for breakfast that morning. I know their secret word that they brought in to the session that I need to know to prove to them that there's, that I'm psychic.
I bet.
Yeah. So it's basically like, the way that the like psychic and mediumship ability works, or at least in my experience, is that you are unfolding evidence or information piece by piece by piece. You say something and then another thing appears, and then you say that thing and then another thing appears. So it's like a breadcrumb trail, like literally you, it's almost terrifying because you're literally going into the unknown and what you can't control, which for humans totally sucks, but you could totally relate in the birth process.
Yeah.
So basically like, I'm not always off, but I'm not always on. So I'm kind of like, if I'm going to go into a grocery store, I'm going to turn my, awareness off. I'm going to turn off like my awareness to people's auras or you know, like other people's emotional states. I'm going to almost imagine, my aura or my awareness limited to my body, my field, and at the task at hand, and just be grounded and be in the moment with myself. And I think that it's, stuff can slip in, like if someone just starts like talking to me at the store and then I all of a sudden have a flash or I feel something, that can definitely happen, but it doesn't mean I'm going to tell them about it, because that's where like ethics are involved.
Right. And
how do I know, like, they want me, they're ready to hear that. I think it really just lies in, what am I aware of and what am I placing my awareness on, and thinking of it as like a radio, dial going, you know, down or really up, but I don't think it's always totally off. I think that stuff can filter through because we're human.
Right.
So
that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I feel like even with someone who doesn't have that gift and or does and isn't fully honed in on it yet and has, you know, sculpted that. I mean, it's kind of like listening to your intuition. Like sometimes there's just, you know, something that will come through. We all get those little whispers, right? So that's a really good, I like the radio analogy. I like that a lot. What's the most rewarding as well as challenging part of your work?
Yeah. So I would say the most rewarding is I feel like the thing that I want to say is like, which would be like obvious, I guess, is like helping other people and reuniting other people with loved ones, you know, their guides, you know, their higher self, like bringing them back to their truth is like, you know, why I'm in this work. But I would say really truthfully, it's the feeling that it gives me. like I'm not like a drug addict, but it's almost like after a reading when it goes, you know, really well, which I think most of the time, that's why I'm doing this work. Like I think I'm doing it right. People will have this sort of sparkle in their eyes or this feeling, and it's transferred to me. And it's this feeling of when I do connect with their guides or the great intelligence, God or source or whatever you want to call it, it enters my being. And I am, every single reading, I feel like I've gained some like mystical knowledge of the other side or about the earth, the universe. And it's like a complete honor to be able to connect with spirit and be this sort of messenger, this conduit, this medium. Yeah.
That's so cool. And so what's like the most challenging part?
Yeah, of course I do the good first.
I love that. Let's do the good first.
I know, right? So I would say the most challenging, and I'm also like a, you know, a teacher of this work, like you said, a mentor, is when the reading isn't understood by the client, right? And there's many reasons why they wouldn't understand what you're giving them. I could go on and on about it, you know, like maybe they didn't understand how you're interpreting the information. Maybe they don't understand, you know, the language, the cadence, the tone, or maybe I'm just wrong. You know, I've had a bad day, you know, I'm a human, right? And I'm not being clear. So that is really, really hard to, you know, give my all and it's just not enough, or it's wrong, or I can't connect, or and you're not delivering something that the client expects is really, really, really shitty to feel.
Yeah. I mean, I could have like a whole series of podcast talks about expectations, right? Because that is just such a big bag to unpack in general. But I can imagine being someone on the outside looking at someone's work like what you do. And I mean, how do I phrase this? Everyone I can imagine coming to you has an expectation. That's why they're coming to you, right? Like you are put on the spot to perform and utilize this gift. And, you know, you don't know how the reading's going to go, right? Like it's not like, because it's coming to you, I'm sure a lot of it in real time, but someone coming to you for a reading, they have an expectation, I'm sure, of who they want to connect with and also what they want you to say. And so they're honed in on, this is what I'm going to look for in those breadcrumbs. This is where I want this reading. I want the path to look like and the message to come to me. And so when they're not receiving that and they're not able to dissect what you are providing them into that box they're wanting it to fit in, you know, that's going to lead to whether it be confusion or, you know, misunderstanding the reading. And then I can only imagine how that would leave someone like you feeling, because like you are sharing a gift with people. It's not like, you know, when you're selling a piece of artwork, right? Like it's, I don't know. I don't know how to articulate that what you're providing someone is so precious, and it's just different than like, oh, buy this book. You know what I mean? Like it's so personal. Thank you for sharing that. So obviously we're here on a podcast about pregnancy and birth and parenthood. I am so curious on how you view the connection between the work that you do and, you know, the journey of conception and pregnancy and birth. And some people are probably familiar with, you know, Spirit Babies in that book. And that has, I think, shed some of, you know, theories on the connection of the two together. But I want to know what your views on the connection between the two are.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Opening up a can of worms.
I bet.
Spirit Babies is such a good, that's a good segue. And, because I said earlier, like, I don't know if I really believe in fate or destiny, but with these babies that come through, I personally believe that they are chosen, and it's a reciprocal thing. I think that we can say it unconsciously, whatever, subconsciously choose these babies that are going to be birthed, and they are like they're choosing us. So I think that there is some pre-orchestration happening. I think that birth completely and utterly changes you, or when I say you, me as the mom, I mean, as the, you know, the dad too, or the partner, like, you know, I guess I can speak for my husband, you know, like it has changed both of us. And each baby, I have two girls. So like both of them have given me different gifts. And when I say that, I want to actually rephrase that. They have brought or excavated something that was already within me.
Ooh, I love that. Yes, absolutely. I love that.
Yeah. And they're like highlighting things. And I think that's truly why they come, is to be like, hey, like they're coming at like a midpoint in our life, or some sort of point in our life where they're activating, or they're attuning, they're awakening something in us. And through the process of birth, no matter what, you know, the experience is, usually intense.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't think you can get out of that. But it's, it brings you more out of yourself, and your becoming, and it, how more spiritual can you get than giving birth? Like that was the most spiritual thing I could ever do. Like, and I'm, you know, my work every single day is working with spirit.
Yeah.
And it is because, like, I always say to my students, like, your mind is going to try to interfere. And when you do this work, this, you know, the psychic, the channeling, the mediumship, but when you're in the process of laboring and like giving birth, there's this moment of like, yeah, your mind's doing all this monkey mind stuff, but there's this moment of kind of compared to like an orgasm, where you're in complete ecstasy, even if it's pain, like there's this ecstasy moment where you are not on earth, you are in another dimension.
Yeah.
So, I'm actually curious. I know you're interviewing me, but like, I am curious if you see that, or you are transferred into that 4D, 5D dimension as a midwife.
Yes. Well, I think as someone who attends births in general. So, you know, my history, I started off as a doula before I became a midwife. And then once I became a midwife, I really had to learn how to kind of stay in my midwife lane. Because it's very easy to fall into that doula role. You know, as midwives, we have a heart for moms, for women going through the laboring process, right? So we want to care for them and hold them and help them, you know, through the trenches of labor. But it's very easy to fall into that same space or very close to that space of what we call labor land that a laboring mom is going through that experience. You can kind of get, you know, sucked into that with her, and you're riding every wave alongside her in your own way. And as a midwife, when our job is to be that clinical overseer, I use the analogy a lot, like that I'm a lifeguard at birth, right? Making sure that everyone's safe. It's important for me to not fall into that space, right? Because I need to be able to discern that everything clinically is still safe. But even so much on the times where I have had challenging births and, you know, complications have arisen, and there's something, I don't know, I can't speak on it for every midwife, but at least for me, there have been times where during those complications, I either feel more heightened and more alert that like, oh, this is more dire, or there have been times where clinically it seems like it's a more dire situation, but spiritually and intuitively, I know that it's going to be okay. And I know that mom's going to be okay, or that baby is here. They might not be in their body quite yet, but they're still with us. They're going to be okay. And I always find it fascinating, because midwives obviously come in all shapes and sizes and colors, right, in their own belief systems. But regardless of one's, you know, structured belief system in regards to religion, it's fascinating to me that, you know, a midwife who watches the miracle of pregnancy and the miracle of birth and experiences that intensity that is present at birth, and that energetic transaction of a baby coming into their body and witnessing that mom take that breath coming back into her body, denying that there is a greater spirit, a God, you know, like it's just, it gives my eyes, like, you know, I'm getting kind of teary eyed thinking about it. Like, it is how you said the work you do, you know, provides a feeling for you, right? And it's addicting. And that is how watching and holding the hand alongside a woman in her pregnancy and watching her go through that transformation and birth, it provides that same feeling for me that, like, this is where I belong. This is the work I was put on this planet to do, because it is so miraculous. It is so addicting. It is so beautiful. There are not words to describe it. And I will talk with clients regularly about, you know, how was your birth? How did it go for you? How do you feel about it? And everyone always says, well, there weren't enough books to read that, you know, prepared me for this. There wasn't enough that a friend could tell me about it. And, you know, a lot of times we'll talk about, like, I don't think that they're supposed to be, you know, I don't think that this type of experience, there are not supposed to be words to share about it, because it's so personal and it is so out of body and it is so spiritual that it's like this best kept secret. We're not essentially supposed to be able to transcribe and transfer that exact experience. Like, you can get close to it, you know what I mean? But I also think that that is a beauty in the unknown about birth, you know, because it's supposed to be that way. Anyway, so that's kind of, I took that and ran with it a little bit. But yeah, that's why I've always been so intrigued, you know, by you and the work you do, because like I said in the beginning of this, I really think that, you know, I've been through a lot of different experiences in my life, and having birthed all four of my children, there has been nothing more spiritual and nothing where I felt closer to God than during my birthing experiences, even, you know, having one really traumatic, almost life-ending experience, I still felt so close to God during that experience. So for you, during your pregnancy specifically and having the gift that you have, did it feel different for you being pregnant? And like, especially during your readings, like was there any type of shift with you in pregnancy?
Yeah. They were, well, I had, the hyperemesis, gravidarum, I think that's how you say it. In both pregnancies, it was worse with my second. That in itself, was, kind of a holy experience where, it shook me in the sense of like, especially like I said, with my second pregnancy, I was like on the bathroom floor at one point begging to live. Like it was like so, so terrifying. I had lost like 15 pounds. I think I was at 11 weeks, from just, vomiting, and I couldn't stop. Nothing could help, even the, you know, the medication they give you. And I remember, on the floor praying, and I felt this blue light, that surrounded me. And, yeah, this was like 11, 12 weeks pregnant. And, this blue light, I would best describe it as like an angel or like a guide. And I felt immediately calm, and it was immediately like, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And then I did not throw up at all, like after that. And I was throwing up like 5 times a day. Sorry, I guess trigger warning. So basically, that there's a connection with that, by the way. I just connected it with the birth. So I don't know. But yeah, I feel like, I feel like the whole, there's too many things to like account for, like how pregnancy and how many spiritual experiences I had. Yeah. In my pregnancy, like, spontaneous channelings, of who these little souls, were that I was, conceiving, you know, into this world, and what they were, so, you know, here to do once they came into a body. I even this is a cool story. Sophie, my first daughter, before I even was pregnant with her, I had been taking this like yoga class, and I was in the end, you know, like the Shavasana, the ending pose where, yeah, you're exhausted, you're laying on the floor. I think it was like hot yoga or something. And I'm laying there, and I see this image in my mind's eye, you know, my eyes are closed, and I see the word written out like on an old school blackboard, Sophie, but the F was really highlighted. So it was a Sophie with an F. And then I heard it, Sophie, this is my name. And then I saw this like little baby, and then I'm like, oh, I know I'm going to be pregnant soon. Wow. And, she told me her name, and then, you know, I was, about to go to Hawaii. I was, in my, I'm going to shut my window really quick here.
Okay.
I was, going to this, wedding in Hawaii, I was like 25 weeks pregnant, and I was in the kitchen with my husband's mom, and I was like, yeah, I think we're going to name her Sophie. And she's like, oh, do you know that's Dave's grandma. That's her name.
Wow.
So I think it was spelled the same way. because she was from Poland. So I think that's like an Eastern European way of spelling it. So it was just like a really cool, oh, wow, okay. Like,
that's so cool.
So it's, yeah, I mean, did I need to be pregnant going through that? I mean, now maybe not, but just, yeah, really cool ancestral experiences that I had. My readings were really amplified with clients, and it was definitely like an attunement being pregnant, for sure.
I love that. So I have been so excited to talk about your birth story, and just letting listeners and watchers know, Mary's birth with me did not go 100% according to plan. So just a little bit of a warning that there are some moments that will probably be recalled during this that can be triggering or traumatic. So yeah, just wanted to place that disclaimer on there. But all right, Mary, let's talk about your birth story.
Yeah. Thank you so much for, yeah, inviting me to talk about this. And it's interesting, like any trauma, you don't process it in that moment, or even realize what the hell just happened. I had to talk about it a lot to like get clear on, you know, what happened. And I think it's interesting. I think a lot of the really good stuff that I experienced, I actually was able to see later. Interesting how that happens. Well, I remember watching all of Outlander, being from being in my third trimester. I literally would sit on a pregnancy ball, you know, those like workout balls or whatever. I just call them pregnancy balls at this point. My water, you know, like classically broke. I didn't have that in my first birth experience. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And it was like midnight. It was almost midnight. And I was joking with a friend earlier that I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if I gave birth tonight? And I always find there's always seriousness in jokes too, you know. So I definitely, that was happening. And I remember Dave, my husband, at that point when he messaged you, he's like, okay, her water just broke. And then I remember feeling so bad for you that you had to wake up and you have this big family and you were recovering from your birth with your fourth child. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, I'm like, oh, I feel so bad she has to come here. But I'm like, yeah, this is happening. We did the counting of the contractions, and they were really speeding along. Different experience. And my first birth was like 36 hours process. It was really long. I had this knowing, that this child was going to come really quick. And I know that you knew that too. We had talked about that, yeah, in our visits. And I think that's pretty common for a second child to come quite quickly. But I don't know. I felt this little spirit, she is a force. I remember, you coming, and then that's when the labor, yeah, really started kicking in, the contractions. And I remember at one point I was sitting at the edge of the bed and you came in and kneeled in front of me. You were putting something on me. Sorry, I don't know any of the medical terms.
I had just walked in. I had spoken to Dave and then I came and found you in the bedroom and you were going through what we know to be transition. And, you know, I was observing you through one contraction and then I was going to listen to heart tones with the next. And then that's when you looked up at me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I felt like I was like Jesus or something. And like every time I would look at you and the birth assistant, I can't remember her
Melanie.
Name, but Melanie. Okay. And I felt like I was some holy person.
You were. Like, you were a goddess in labor.
Yeah. But I ended up seeing literally like this man behind you. And then I knew it was your dad. And I was like, seriously, right now?
And that's what you said. You literally said that and you were laughing. And I was like, I know, Mary, I know it's not a good time, but I need to listen to Heart Tones is what I was thinking. I thought you were talking to me and you were laughing and you said that. I was like, what is happening? And then you specified.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, your dad's here. He says hi. And then I felt my husband's dad was, because he's passed away too. And it was like a dad club hangout, you know? And I feel like I had this knowing, I hope this is okay to say this. This is kind of something intuitive about you.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. I had this knowing because I know about your birth experience you just went through with Ozzy. I think he was there to hold you through that. Because I know what you went through was really hard.
And you were the first birth back, just so everyone else knows. So what Mary's insinuating is, yeah, my personal birth with my fourth kiddo was a very challenging birth. He didn't breathe for quite some time and it was rocky. And then Mary's birth was my first birth back on call post his birth. And it was just a short time, I think like a month and a half or so after that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that happened and basically the contraction stopped. So it was almost like the contraction, like brought that in like a net, like a fishing net. And I like visibly saw him and I visibly saw Dave's dad. It was crazy. Not crazy for me though, cause I have seen spirits with my physical eyes, not all the time, but it has slipped through the portal. and then I remember it escalating the labor and I, was trudging along. And then I remember being in the bathroom and that's where, I don't know the technical term for that, but I think that's when the pushing kind of the baby's like, okay, I'm coming out. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling really freaked out for some reason, like, so this was my intuition knowing something was wrong. And I didn't know what because, you know, I'm in severe pain and agony. Yeah. I remember the bath wasn't filled up quite yet because our water heater was like not working. Oh, my God. I'm like, is this Mercury retrograde? I think it was. And then I remember I was on my tippy toes from the pain. It was like the peak of the pain of that whole night. It was, yeah. I don't need to express that more, but, I remember for me, I can handle a lot of pain. I was a collegiate water polo player up until I was like 30 years old. So I have a high threshold and that nearly knocked me out. But I remember in that moment of the peak of that, I remember you being like, okay, push the pain, push it down. And like, that really helped me. So thank you. I forgot, you know, you just forget. Right. But I remember to the left side of me, there was this blue, beautiful light forming. And I was like, oh, and it was this woman. But the woman was like all of my maternal line, all in this one person. It felt like Mary Magdalene lineage. Mm. It felt like all just the woman. I know a lot of women speak of this when they're birthing. Mm. I know this is very common. I don't know. It was like myself. It was my higher self, but everyone in my lineage. This divine feminine voice, she said, things are about to get rough. You're going to be okay. And I was like, oh, whatever. I don't know what that meant. And of course, you know, hello, I'm a medium. Like I should listen to that. And I'm kind of cool as a cucumber. That's like my vibe. I'm pretty grounded. And so I kind of just kept that going, just who I am. And you are too. You had a really good like poker face the whole time. That's not a technical term.
Right.
But it was, you are so amazing. Yeah. So I can't stress that enough. And then I remembered that the pool was kind of ready, sort of. I don't know. I just like started walking over there because the baby was like coming out. And then I hopped in the pool and I remember it might have been like the second push, her head comes out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow, that was fast. My last birth took 5 hours to push my other daughter's yeah. head out. So I was so relieved. And in my mind, I was like, oh, I'm almost done. And then I felt, again, that pin, that twinge of like, no, you're not. This calm voice.
Yeah.
And that feeling of panic came in, but then it was soothed again. It was weird. This like spirit came in again and then you, I think, told me to get out of the tub, you know, something is wrong. Or yeah, I don't know, think you said that, but I knew that to be true. And then I had to crawl out of the tub with the baby's head out. Mm-hmm. And we tried many techniques and maneuverings to get me to push this baby out. On all fours. And then that's when I could hear, this is when stuff got crazy. Cause I could hear everyone shouting around me, but I pretty much left my body. I was in my body, but I was out. I was in two places at one time. Mm-hmm. And I felt, extreme panic for a moment. And then in another moment I was like, you're just keep doing what you're doing. You're going to be okay. And I could see my husband's face. He's a trained EMT, by the way. So he was, I've never seen his face like that, like in severe, like, oh my God, you know? And then I think that's when I turned over to my back. Mm-hmm. And then you guys tried to pull her out, you know, both you and the birth assistant, because there was a shoulder dystocia.
Correct.
I think.
Yeah.
Correct. And then her cord was wrapped around her neck maybe twice.
Yes.
Or yeah. But of course, you know, I don't know that at that time. And this is the crazy part that, Jesse, I never told you this. And this is the processing, is you could probably see on my face, I was in shock. Mm-hmm. Like I was complete shock. And it wasn't in, I looked over, you were kneeling over me, in front of me, dealing with the thing at hand. And I saw again, this blue light appear behind your head, almost as if, this is like insane, almost as if she was working with you. Hmm. And she was almost not like entering you, but like over you. And then again, imbuing in me, this baby is going to live. Don't even worry about it. It's going to be okay. Because she told me, this spirit woman, she told me, the more you freak out, the more it's going to be, you're going to intervene and it's not going to be good. Like that. And she told me as if it was a download, like a knowing. So I just listened to what I needed to do and then was just there, you know? And then the baby miraculously came out. You could probably give more detail with that, but I just remember you had to administer some breaths with your mouth. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, she still wasn't breathing. And I didn't even almost dare look down because Dave said she was completely purple and her skin was in that way. So, and then you put a mask on her, and then that's when she actually took a breath. So, oof, Yeah.
Very heavy birth story. And I'm so grateful for you to share that. And I know how hard that can be to, you know, speak through that, having had, you know, a couple traumatic births myself, because we kind of relive it, right? But I think there's a lot of importance in sharing these birth stories because, and this is a whole nother episode I plan on doing, I think it does women a huge disservice when we're only showing, whether it be on social media, birth stories on podcasts, birth stories in books, when we're only talking about the pretty, filtered, beautiful stories, right? I absolutely want my clients to wrap themselves around positive birth stories. But there needs to be a healthy balance because we don't have control over birth. We do not. Yeah. There are things that providers and, you know, families alike can do to increase risk factors, you know, in regards to outcomes and how a birth goes. But sometimes things happen when you've done everything right. And when you have a birth story that, like Mary's, doesn't always go according to plan. And if you haven't been exposed to some similar birth stories, it can leave women in that grieving process, kind of feeling like a sense of shame, or, you know, it can make that process a lot more emotionally challenging to move through. And so I think that it's so important to share all birth stories, right? And, you know, being mindful of what we're absorbing in pregnancy and feeding to that subconscious is so important. But you kept saying, you know, I don't know the correct terminology. You could speak more on this. Yes, absolutely. You know, I always say that you can have four people in the same birth room at that same experience, but your reality is your perception. So the facts are facts, and anything that you go through in life, facts are facts, right? But your reality is always going to be your perception. And guess what? Your perception is going to change depending on what corner of the room you were in, right? Like, we bring our own baggage to every situation in life, whether it's a party, whether it's, you know, a birth, whether it's reading the same book, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to bring our own reality perception baggage to it. So our realities are going to be different. So when it comes to processing birth with clients, I don't think that we ever should instill our perception of the birth. So, you know, you and I have talked quite a few times around your birth. But the one thing I do want to say about it in this space is how thoroughly impressed with you I was during the birth, but even more so afterwards. The way that you and Dave moved through the processing of a very traumatic, you know, what physically traumatic birth, right? Like, that's one of the things that most people fear about birth, home birth. A lot of midwives, you know, fear shoulder dystocias, resuscitations. But the way that you moved through it was so admirable. And I felt your trust in me, which is such a gift and such a blessing. And I am so thankful for that. But I'm so proud of you. And I think it's also a testament to your gift, as well as, you know, your faith in your body and your belief in the process of truly surrendering in that moment of, you know, A, you received these downloads, right? You had these experiences telling you everything was going to be okay. But it's just a combination of all of that. And I'm just so impressed with how you have, you know, navigated the processing experience of that birth. So, you know, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for letting me bear witness to that processing journey. And thank you so much for sharing that story and sharing those extra pieces that we haven't discussed together. So before we sign off, I do want to know what would be some tidbits of advice, you know, for listeners and viewers that are curious about kind of tapping more into their intuition, you know, seeing it, maybe they believe that they've got this gift as well, how to hone in on it? Because I know, as we talked about, you know, you're also a mentor in this work. But what would be your word of advice for those that are feeling this draw to elevating their connection and spirituality?
Yeah. I would say, well, it depends, you know, where they're at on their journey. You know, there's a bunch of books, you know, there's classes and workshops. I would say, at least for me in this moment, is going outside, going in nature, and grounding yourself and connecting, with earth. And I would say that's something that's been, out of everything that I'm doing, it helps me listen to what is inside of me versus the loud noise that is crazy chaos right now in our world. And ground yourself, because being a psychic or a medium, it's not something that you find outside of yourself. It's something that you actually find within. Mm-hmm. And it's all happening in your inner world. That's how you reach other dimensional states, and altered state is always by, you know, going within. Of course there's, like, you know, there's great teachers out there. There's, mentorships, there's, you know, and I recommend those things. You know, you have to develop you don't have to do anything, but I highly recommend you develop if you want to do something. It's like being a doctor or a lawyer, or like, I think that this work should be treated with that type of, and that level of devotion. Mm. That it is something that you can hone in and get better and better at. And so, yeah, I think that's my answer.
I love it. Has just been such a pleasure to chat with you. And for those watching and listening that want to absorb more from you, what is the or they want to work with you, what is the best way for people to get connected to you?
Yeah. My website. I'm not sure if you have the show notes or.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes for sure.
Okay. Awesome. Wovenchannel.com. And then my Instagram, I'm on there, at Mary Greasy, just my name. And, yeah, you just contact me through there. I'm opening, my books again in December for one-on-one readings, and I'll be teaching a channeled art masterclass in February of 2025, which is the second year I'll be teaching it. It was really awesome and successful last year. So, yeah.
Very cool. Awesome. Thank you again so much, Mary. I love you dearly. And everyone is going to be so excited to hear this story and hear about this work you do and stay in touch. So thank you again for your time, Mary.
Thank you, Jesse.
My pleasure. Bye, everyone. Thank you for joining me on this journey of growth, connection, and conscious living. If you found value in today's episode, share it with someone you love, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a moment. Follow me on Instagram at Gold Soul Midwifery and sign up for the newsletter to stay connected and in the loop. Until next time, stay grounded, keep growing, and remember, your gold soul shines brightest through the beautiful and messy moments of life.